are listening to Radio Influence.
This is the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Your weekly glimpse inside all things Valor Fights, and a look at what's going on in the rest of the MMA community. Here are your hosts, the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy, and your color commentator, Casey Oxendine.
Welcome to the Valor Hour, an in-depth look into everything Valor Fights, as well as the headlines from combat sports across the world. It's the official preview show for the UMAF National Championships. Of course, it all goes down this weekend at Elizabethan High School with 3 full days of MMA action to determine the nation's best amateur competitors in each weight class. Of course, the winners from this weekend's event will represent the nation as part of Team USA this fall at the IMAF World Championships in Bahrain. We have a great lineup of guests, including Nick Jewell, Trey Willis, Angelo Rivera Jr., Quentin Thomas, Alvin Miller, and Hawaii Perez, all of which will be in action this weekend at UMAF Nationals. And as always, we will address your questions during our question and answer segment. I'm Casey Oxendine, and I am joined by the president of Valor Fights, Tim Loy. Tim, the Nationals are finally here.
Yeah, man, it's been a long road. We've been prepping for this thing for a while, so it's crazy. It's finally here. We're about to have 3 days of action.
Man, as a promoter, you are stepping outside the box yet again, putting on not only a great event, but 3 full days of fighting action. A test of not only your precision as a promoter, but also your diligence and endurance. What has this experience been like so far?
Man, it's been, it's been crazy. Honestly, the early portions of it wasn't so trying. There's a lot of people that wanted to get involved with it early, but now that it's gotten down to crunch time, we've had a lot of guys falling off. We've still got a great field. I think that we're going to have some outstanding matches in the semifinals and finals. But that said, we've had a lot of people that had made commitments, and we had full brackets at one point and turned away a lot of people. And then the last minute, lots of excuses.
Well, the cream rises to the top, so the guys that remain will definitely be worthy. And it's going to be a tough challenge here. I mean, 3 full days of fighting, that is not easy for any athlete. The guys that are in for it are superb. So, also, we have a special guest host joining us tonight. We know him from Vols Radio and, of course, his work as lead play-by-play commentator for Valor Fights. My partner on the mic, Vince Ferrara. Vince, how are you doing tonight? And are you ready to talk the talk for 3 full days of UMAF action?
Gentlemen, I'm doing great. Appreciate you guys for having me on. And absolutely, as you guys talked about, we've been working on this and having qualifying matches for months. So the lead up to it, those lead up fights, along the bracket were a lot of fun. Now we get to pay it off and give these guys an unbelievable opportunity to move on. So it's just, it's an honor to be a part of it and great to be with you guys.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. So let's get on with the show. Some news on the national side of MMA. Of course, we heard the news that UFC has lost the Garbrandt-Dillashaw matchup for their 213 event. We follow the chaos of their relationship outside of the cage on The Ultimate Fighter. Guys, very disappointing to see this one drop.
Yeah, man, I was pretty bummed because I'm actually going. I'm going to the International Fight Week that weekend. You'll be filling in for me, at the event that weekend that we're helping coordinate. But I was pretty bummed. That was like what I was really stoked to see. Watching those guys interact on The Ultimate Fighter's entertaining, and they've had a lot of drama and really had me like amped up to see it. And you still get Cowboy and Robbie, which is going to be good, but it's certainly a bummer.
Vance, have you followed this season of the Ultimate Fighter? And what do you think about the drop here of Garbrandt and Dillashaw?
Well, I know about the heat. I haven't followed it each week, but I know about the incredible heat between the two, the trash talking that is just been nasty, and two exceptionally skilled guys, two guys that are so skilled and as quick as you'll find. And Garbrandt and what he did to Dominic Cruz, and how TJ Dillashaw at his best has looked in there in the octagon. So I think a great challenge for Garbrandt Strap, and it's unfortunate this won't go down, and it's just going to add to the chatter of the camps. They're going to continue to stay on each other until this fight eventually happens, hopefully at some point.
Undoubtedly, it most certainly will. Money talks. And this one has the potential to draw a lot of it. Speaking of antics outside the ring, things got physical between Chris Cyborg Justino and Angela Magana at the UFC Fighter Retreat in Las Vegas earlier this week. Following an extended Twitter battle between the two, Cyborg confronts and allegedly punches Magana during a face-to-face altercation. Police are called, Magana presses charges, and Cyborg is cited for misdemeanor battery, which carries a potential 6-month jail term and $1,000 fine. Then, just yesterday, Magana resurfaces to challenge Cyborg to a no-time limit, submission-only jiu-jitsu matchup in the gi. Guys, here's the question. Is Magana the victim, or did Cyborg just fall for a carefully orchestrated scheme?
Or option C, are we all just getting worked?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know, man. You know, that's a pretty good size differential and you know, just lots of gap and disparity there, man. I don't know. I got to say I'm going to err on the side of caution and say that Magana is most likely, you know, using this to keep her name in the spotlight. I'm surprised she's still in the UFC, you know, so this is certainly kind of keeping her relevant.
Well, I didn't even realize she was still in the UFC, to be truthfully honest with you. And I think she's coming off, what, 2 or 3 fight losing streak. But she's always got a lot of talk for people. There's always some drama surrounding her. Vincent, what was your take on it?
Well, I read up on this a little bit yesterday, and I think she could very well be the victim and now trying to capitalize off of it. So it could be a little bit of both in it. So, you know, we know fighters at times, especially with Cyborg, with everything she has to do in lead ups to fights to make weight. And, you know, I think tempers can flare sometimes, and maybe she's just trying to, Magana's just trying to capitalize on the exchange here. A lot of heat on Twitter between these two. But gosh, an orchestrated scheme. This is pretty in depth. I don't know that they're both in on it. So I'm going to say this is just reactionary and then trying to seize the opportunity.
I think from my perspective, I see it as something where Magana is always looking for a way to get some attention, to parlay that into money, to work, to whatever she can to keep her relevant. Cyborg, of course, extremely relevant all the time, but it's been one hit after another. And unfortunately, it may be yet, you know, again, that Cyborg will be put on the sidelines due to this situation. So hopefully it gets resolved and we get to see her back in action. I didn't really like to see this altercation. That being said, Magana, I come up training a lot of females in mixed martial arts, and they always tend to kind of, you know, they want to be respected like the men, and they've kind of got that attitude that if you talk the talk, then and you call it out there and you put your finger in somebody's face, you know, you do that to a lion, you're liable to get your finger bit off. And I think that's kind of what happened. That being said, if you saw Magana's face, if Cyborg really put the leather to her, then it would have been nasty. You know, her face didn't seem to have a scratch on it. So interesting situation, though. It's always drama in the loop here. Well, it's on to you, Math, which is where regional MMA takes a national spin this weekend. We have that full breakdown coming. But first, it's time for our weekly Q&A segment, where Valor Fights President Tim Loy answers the question of you, the listener. Tim, any idea what this week's questions pertain to?
Oh man, it's a mixed bag, man. I'm sure it's got something to do with this tournament, you know.
Well, I was gonna say it's not much of a mixed bag at all. It's all about you, man.
It's all about the tournament, huh? Okay.
That's what we're talking
about.
Let's
see how we do.
All right. Well, here's your first question. Are you a fan of Jose Shorty Torres?
Man, how can you not be? Like, that guy's an exciting fighter to watch. You know, he's all action. He's got, a great motor and comes forward, and he's an all action guy. I don't see how you can't be.
Question number two, who is the Shorty Torres of this tournament? Meaning, which competitor are we going to see and hear a lot more from in the next few years as he transitions, or she transitions, to pro fighting?
Oh man, there's so many, people that stand out. You know, I've got to say, you know, I know the most about, you know, our Valor people, but you know, I think that the people that kind of stand out to me is, you know, the ones that are really going to shine. You know, I think Ava Mai, I think Billy Swanson, David Robbins, those are kind of the ones that really stand out. But you know, there's some studs coming in here. Angelo Rivera Jr., Ben Bennett, and the 170 bracket is ridiculously stacked between Bennett, Rivera, and David Robbins. Those are three studs, you know, and man, there's so many good ones. You put me on the spot, I'm going to say Billy Swanson.
I gotcha. That's a good answer. Question number three, which Tennessee fighter is going to turn the most heads this weekend? I think you just said it, but hey, yeah. whether Billy goes on, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to turn the most heads. Who do you think is going to?
You know what? You're right. And I think that I think David Robbins is the guy that, you know, if he comes out and wins his, he's going to have to have beaten, you know, at least two guys that are like, you know, really high level guys, and Rivera and Bennett. So I think David Robbins is the guy that, you know, if he comes through this thing, he will have done so against, you know, stellar competition.
Very well rounded fighter indeed. Of course, I've got my eyes on John Hall always, just because of the explosiveness that can occur there, and Big Mike as well. Mike Thomas, he's always a character. We saw his video there, the little build up that he did. He's a lot of fun, so I can't wait. Question number four: Ava Mai has been very confident vocally. Do you think that he has the most confidence of any fighter in this tournament?
I mean, it's got to be between him and Billy. I mean, Billy is very confident, you know, that he's going to get this thing. But, you know, Ava is always very confident. And, you know, he's always very outspoken. And, you know, he told everybody to stay home. I mean, I could see it. You know, I would see he's definitely one of the most confident for sure. And I've got to pick him to win it. I think Ava is going to win this thing.
Well, final question. Question number five, bottom line, why should fans watch this? We're talking about getting the 3-day pass to watch it in person or live on Flow Combat.
Man, you know, it's just going to be some stellar matchups. I think, especially Saturday and Sunday, we're set up for just some awesome matchups that are really going to provide some great action with some matches with regions that you don't get to see them fight each other. We got people from Alaska, you know, Arizona, Chicago, St. Louis, you know, all over that will be here. And, you know, you're going to get to see some, you know, just great action from, you know, the future of MMA.
Well, that definitely gives some great insight into this weekend from Valor Fights President Tim Loy. Everyone, remember to send in your questions each week, and that way we can ask the president his take on what's going down. But now it's time to speak with some of the competitors slated to compete this weekend at UMAF Nationals. We are joined by Nick Jewell. Nick is a 3-4 amateur mixed martial arts competitor out of Kentucky. Nick is currently on a 2-fight win streak. We saw him in action last back at Warrior FC 132, where he defeated Timothy Engel by TKO to capture the Warrior FC title. And now we will see him in action at UMAF Nationals as part of the light heavyweight bracket. Nick, it's great to have you on the show. How do you feel headed into this weekend?
Oh, man, I feel excellent. This is the best I've felt in a really long time. I'm going to go in there and do work, make it nasty like I always do.
Well, you're certainly one of the more entertaining characters from up in Kentucky, man. Always love coming up there and calling your fights, and you know, come down here and fought for us before as well. You know, you're familiar with a few of these guys that are in the bracket, like Jared Short, John Hall. How do you feel like you stack up with those guys? And you know, how, you know, if you were to face off with those either of them, how do you think it goes?
If I face off with Jared Short, it's going to be simple. His striking is nowhere near mine. He'll try to take me to the ground. And, you know, my jiu-jitsu is really good now. I trained a little bit up in Chicago with some Gracies. I've just been getting better every single day. And John Hall, he's got good striking, but it's nowhere near mine either. Either way, the outcome's the same, my hand raised.
Well, you're known for your antics, kind of, you know, inside the cage. You can dance. You got the moves, you know. But also, you're known for, you know, toughness and ability to kind of come back when you've been in tough spots. You were in some, you know, you're kind of probably behind on the scorecards, and your last one came back and got a finish. How do you believe that those attributes will play into your success in this tournament?
I feel like that's really a big part of me. Is I have a lot more heart than these guys. They don't want it as bad as I do. I want this more than anything. This is my dream, and that's what I've been following ever since I've been 14 training. And that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to just keep getting better every single day. I'm going to win this tournament and represent Team USA.
So, Nick, talk a little bit about the total package. When we watch Nick Jewell, you know, sometimes we expect, you know, like we said in the last fight, you know, you come out throwing for the fences, you hit the ground, you get in tough spots, and that's sort of your moniker to get in those tough spots and battle out. How does that reflect your training? What sort of positions are you getting into those bad spots? Because when you get in there at the Nationals, you have a potential of fighting three times in one weekend. So you're going to have to preserve your body as much as possible each night and make sure that you're able to continue on. What sort of training have you done to prepare for that specifically?
Well, I have my teammate who is also fighting in the tournament, Randall Ross, pressure me and do a lot of these things that these guys are going to do to me. And we've just been working a lot on cardio and getting in really bad positions, like the rear naked choke position and just escaping and all kinds of different things. We're definitely ready for the three fights in 3 days.
Well, I got to ask you this. If we do get a win from you, are we going to see you dance?
You will definitely see me dance if I win.
Are we going to see you on social media? I see that some of the videos that you post and some of the threads that you have up there, sometimes they get upwards of 300-400 comments. Not necessarily a lot of likes, but you get a lot of comments. That means that you're raising a lot of eyebrows. Are we going to see you on social media?
Yes, of course. The reason I get so many comments is people just can't understand. They can't handle the heat, so they need to get out of the kitchen. I'm bringing the storm, thunder, and lightning. It's ready to come.
Well, real quick, if you would, go ahead and give shout-outs to all your training partners, everyone that's helped you to get where you are, sponsors and so forth, as well as all of your social media plugs. It's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff.
Well, I just want to thank all my coaches, you know, Tyler Chrisman, Randy Bryant, all the way to Heath Purdue. I want to thank all my teammates, Logan Gabbert. He'll be competing. Zach Fox, Jack Bulls, Randall Ross. So I'll be competing this weekend. And my sponsors, the newspaper for getting me in locally, showing, you know, that us guys around here locally are in MMA, and we're just trying to take it to the next level.
Catch Nick Jewell this weekend at the UMAF Nationals as he looks to capture a national title in the light heavyweight division. Thank you for your time, Nick, and we will see you this weekend.
See you guys.
Trey Willis is a 4-2 mixed martial arts competitor fighting out of Kentucky. Trey is coming off a big win over Damian Miller by guillotine submission back at Hard Rock MMA 88. He'll be in action this weekend at UMAF Nationals as part of the Bantamweight bracket. Trey, thanks for joining us tonight. How are you feeling as we head into this monumental weekend of fights?
I'm feeling great. I'm ready to fight, man. Put a lot into this. I've been training hard, so just ready to see how I match up against all these guys and how they match up against me. So.
Well, you were a late entry into the tournament, Trey, a guy that we've kind of had our eye on down here at Valor. We've been watching you in your fights up in Kentucky, certainly impressive. You've kind of finished up your camp there in Cleveland at American Killer Bees there with Ben Sargent, David Robbins. Kind of talk about what brought that about and, your training there and your preparation for this weekend.
Yes, sir. I had a title fight lined up and they pushed the dates on me, so I was training twice a day in Louisville. So then I got this opportunity. I asked Ben about it, if I could still qualify to get into the national tournament. And I guess some guys pulled or something happened, and I ended up getting in. So I moved down here for a two-week camp with the American Killer Bees, and it's been great. Ben's been very helpful with my nutrition part of the fighting game, and just very technical down here with the American Killer Bees. It's been a very, very technical camp. It's been an experience for sure.
Has Ben been wearing the little singlet outfit? I saw on Facebook that he's going to be wearing that. What do they call those things?
Rompers.
It's not a singlet. Tim. It's a romper. Okay.
It's a romper.
Right.
Uh-huh. Is he sporting that thing around the gym?
Twice a day, man.
Wait, we can't wait to see him in action here with that thing on, man. Of course, he's going to be there in the corner with Billy as well. And of course, David. Let me ask you this. Have you looked at the field at all? We're talking about names like Chase Boutwell, Austin Childers. How do you feel you match up with those guys?
I feel like they have interesting styles. I like their styles, and I respect them as fighters, but I feel like I'm the best in the game right now at 135. I'm on top of my game. I've touched up on a lot of areas where I was lacking, and I just feel great. I feel really good, and I'm ready to fight them.
And what do you think is your biggest advantage against those guys? Of course, 2011 freestyle state champ, fifth in 2013 in folk style, team captain all years as a high schooler. How do you think? Do you think that's your strength going into this?
Yeah, I feel like I have the strongest wrestling out of the bracket in this tournament for sure. I feel like that's my strength, and I have heavy hands, so. It's going to be interesting. I'm trying to wrestle me after I touch them. I'm just ready to get it on. I'm ready to fight, man.
So, Trey, how do you handle not knowing exactly who your opponent is? It sounds like you know a little bit about those guys. Do you work on each of your potential opponent's strengths and that type of thing, or do you just worry about you? How do you approach the training with those opponents?
Yeah, that's how I usually pick my camps. I study my guys, but unfortunately for this, it was such late notice I didn't get to. I watch the guys and how they fight. They're technical, but like I said, with my wrestling, I feel like I can take any of them down. My hands are strong. I feel heavy. I feel really heavy-handed right now through this camp. I feel good, man. The weight cut's been amazing. Mentally, I feel great. And if I touch them, I just feel like, I'm just ready, man. I'm just ready. I don't want to give all the good stuff up before the tournament. So,
Trey, real quick, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give a little love, shout outs, and, do your training partners, sponsors, and so forth. And also give your social media plugs, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and the rest. Go ahead and give your shout outs now.
Yes, sir. I just want to shout out to my family for being very patient through my journey. Lord and Savior, first and foremost. I wouldn't be here without him. I want to shout out to some camps back in Louisville, Area 502, Philip Perkins. I couldn't have done this without them. And also American Killer Bees. It's been a phenomenal camp for me. I feel great. I've never felt this great for being prepared for a fight. So shout out to them. And just shout out to the UMAP people for giving me this opportunity as well.
Catch Trey Willis in action this weekend as he battles through the bantamweight bracket at UMAF Nationals live on Flow Combat. Thanks for joining us.
Baby.
Hey, see you this week, guys. Who is that back there? Much, who is that back there? Is that Ben?
That's Ben, Sergeant.
Destruction, baby.
Oh,
I think
my.
He's confident too, huh?
You guys have a great evening.
Thank you.
We are joined now by Angelo Rivera Jr. Angelo is an 8-2 amateur mixed martial arts competitor fighting out of Chicago, Illinois. He is currently on a 3-fight win streak, coming off a unanimous decision victory over Tyler Veal at the Moore MMA Classic number 12. He will be in action this weekend at the UMAF Nationals as part of the welterweight bracket. Angelo, thank you for your time and joining us tonight.
No problem. It's an honor to be on this call. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you, man. You come very highly touted. You know, we were asking, you know, who are some of the guys we need to be watching out for in this tournament? And, you know, you were one of the first guys on the list that, you know, watch out for Rivera. He's a stud, you know. And so started looking into you some, and man, you are, you know, you're the real deal. And just kind of like when you look you up on Facebook, the first one to come up, though, is Angelo Rivera Sr., your father. Yeah. There, obviously a big influence in your fighting career. Talk a little bit about his influence on getting you into fighting.
Well, at the age of 5, he actually started me off. He was doing it back when Chicago was like more of the underground scene when UFC first started. So like there was really no weight class. You fight whoever. It was basically style against style. And then, he was started off in first karate, and that's what I first got into. And then he started learning boxing, and then I started doing the boxing with him. And then eventually got into jiu-jitsu, and eventually realizing in order to get my grappling game better, I started learning wrestling as well, and then later on down the line started learning Muay Thai, and then once I got old enough, I started mixing everything together.
Did you work with Shoney up there at all?
Shoney Carter was he's actually one of my coaches. So if you scroll through my Facebook, you'll notice that me, Shorty, Carlos Hernandez, Chepe Mariscal, we actually fought in different tournaments or different fight promotions all at the same time. And Shoney was in our corner as well. So pretty cool, you know, Brian Gassaway, a lot of UFC fighters coming through that combat dough with Master Bob Shermer.
I have to ask you, did you help him in preparation at all for that big bare knuckle deal that he did about a month ago? I guess it was about a month ago, last month?
No, actually, I haven't been training too much with Shoney Carter. You know, he's bouncing around doing his thing, and kind of like with my work schedule and other things that I got going on, I'm training with one of Master Bob's former students. I don't know if you ever heard of Herc Hayes, but he also has a gym now out in Chicago that's closer to my house, so it's more convenient for me to go and train with Herc Hayes, which he trained with Alistair Overeem and trained overseas at Mike's Gym, which is a famous gym overseas. And, you know, so just crisping up my game and making things happen.
Angelo, have most of your fights been in the Chicago area or in Illinois, or have you had an opportunity to fight in different areas?
I've actually been competing since like 6 years old. I have over a couple hundred fights. So, I got, you know, Chicago titles, Midwest titles. I got national titles. Even got some world belts. I competed in Brazil. I made a Team USA for kickboxing and, competed in Brazil. That was a fun experience, with all the guys. And, I competed in New York. I fought in Florida. I fought, you know, in Kansas City in the World Ringside Boxing Tournament. I've competed in wrestling national championships, mm-hmm. and state championships. So it's pretty cool, you know, to be able to travel and experience that. And, you know, looking forward to adding another notch to my belt this coming weekend, coming back from, you know, my 3-year layoff.
So why the 3-year layoff?
There's a lot of different factors that play into it. Emotionally, I could say, long story short, you have a fuse, you know, when you're growing up, and you know, in the beginning growing up, you have that energy and it's just going, going, going and going and going. And later on in life, you tend to get sometimes burnt out, you know, where it's for any sport, you know, you see those athletes that have been groomed since they were a young age. And next thing you know, when they get into college, they don't even compete in the sport that they dominated in for, you know, their whole life. And I guess I was one of those athletes where I just needed a break. I knew I was going to come back into the sport. I didn't know eventually at what, when and how and where. But this year I felt it was the right time. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired as far as working my job. And, you know, it's pretty cool to see the friends that I, you know, grew up with still making things happen. And that's kind of what pushed me back into it. You know, it's like, man, they're making shit happen. You know, it's time for me to step up my game and to continue along that path, you know, because I was right there with everybody.
Well, speaking of training partners that made things happen, you do return, you know, make your turn at UMAF Nationals, but that tournament is not something completely foreign. Your training partner, Shorty Torres, is a former two-time world amateur champion. Did he influence you at all to get you involved in this event?
Actually, I mean, he did and he didn't. It was something that, you know, he sprinkled on me, and seeing them competing. I remember when it first started off, Master Bob gave me that call back in 2014. And he was like, hey, look, I want you to represent, you know, Chicago coming out with us. We got our team going out and, you know, going to regional, and then from regional, we're going to be doing nationals. And I was just like, man, honestly, I don't really want to do it. I don't, you know, at that time, I just needed that break. I was traveling a lot. I was, you know, just living life and seeing, you know, Shorty and a few of our other teammates not only win that national title, but also win that world title. I was like, man, that's pretty dope, you know. And eventually, once I got my mindset 100% right again, I'm coming back with a full focus of not only winning this national, but also competing in worlds and winning that. And, you know, next year is my goal to turn pro.
Well, pretty stacked lineup in your bracket. Have you had a chance to look at some of your potential opponents yet? Guys like yourself, Ben Bennett, David Robbins, all threats to win it all. What is your take?
I mean, to be honest, not really. I mean, I kind of heard here and there. Master Bob Shermer, you know, he's been at that national tournament year after year for the last couple of years, and he's kind of, I already know he's already has that mentality and that mindset for whoever has competed and is returning. He's going to get me ready for it, you know. This last fight that I had, which was 2 weeks ago, which I fought the number one guy in the state of Illinois, and I didn't necessarily prepare for him, and it was the day of the fight where my coach was like, all right, cool, so I want you to do this, this, and this. And it's kind of that mindset where I'm going to be using that same preparation going into this upcoming tournament, because from what I hear, it's random seeds, random draws, so I can't really prepare for one fighter and the next, you know, I'm getting somebody else. So it's kind of that flow of the moment type of thing, in which, I mean, I'm well-rounded. I know I'll be prepared for anybody that is thrown in my direction, and just looking forward. Honestly, my biggest competition is making weight. And once I make weight, I feel like everything else is going to be absolutely 100% great.
Well, Angelo, real quick, I'm going to give you a chance to give your shout-outs where they're due. Also, give your social media plugs, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, so we can follow you day-to-day in your efforts going into this big tournament.
Awesome. Thank you. I just want to say, first of all, shout-out to my dad. He's one of my main coaches, as well as Second City MMA with Herc Hayes and Combat Dough with Master Bob Shermer. My nutritionist for body transformation, Andrew Kuptowski. And as far as my social media, everything is in alignment, which is pretty simple. It's Prince Rivera, R-I-V-E-R-A, Junior, J-R. And then for my Facebook fan page, it's my first name, Angelo, space Prince, space Rivera, and then Junior at the end, J-R. you know, once again, thank you for having me on this show. I feel truly honored, truly blessed. It's pretty crazy how, you know, I'm just two fights back into this year, and, you know, you guys are already highly recommending me as far as being one of the favorite fighters to watch this upcoming weekend. And I'm ready to put on a show.
We've been speaking with second-generation MMA competitor Angelo Rivera Jr. He will be in action this weekend at UMAF Nationals looking for welterweight gold. Thanks for joining us, Angelo, and we will see you this weekend.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Take care.
We are joined now by Quentin Thomas. Quentin is a 6-2 amateur mixed martial artist fighting out of South Carolina. He's coming off a dominant TKO finish over Luke Merritt back at Warfare 15 and will be in action this weekend at UMAF Nationals as part of the lightweight bracket. Quentin, thanks for joining us here on the Valor Hour. We are a mere hours from go time. How is your mindset as you prepare for 3 days of battle?
Oh, man, I feel good right now, man. I feel good. My weight's good. I'm eating right. I'm training good. Everything's good. I'm ready to show what I can do.
Well, you come very highly recommended, man. I've heard your name now for a while. You know, we've not had you on a Valor event before, but I've certainly heard of you. And everyone that I've talked to says that you're just an absolute beast. So I'm excited to have you out here and see how it goes, man. You know, what's your preparation been like to potentially fight three times in 3 days? You know, like do you have a bit of a game plan going in? Are you going to try to grapple some so you don't take the damage? Or are you going to try to go up there and get these guys out of there just fast and vicious and save time and energy?
I would love to get it over real quick, man. As far as the weight go, you know, I'm pretty good at cutting my weight and not dehydrating myself and starving. So I'm a little under. So that gives me time to eat. You know, that gives me something to put on for fights a little bit so I can stay up and ready. I'm going to go with the flow, man, and just not take it easy on these guys.
Well, it is a pretty stacked lineup, man. Have you had a chance to look at the bracket at all? You know, of who you could potentially face, and or does it even matter?
It doesn't matter, dude. I haven't even looked at the bracket. I'll be I'm confident in my ability to adapt to anybody's style and put my game plan on them and put my game on them.
Talk a little bit about your fight, your last fight there at Warfare 15. Brutal TKO finish. Talk about that. You know, it is only, what, a month ago that you were in action, so you're not going to have any rust going in, needless to say. And, you know, your body, has it completely healed? Did you take any damage at all in that fight? And do you think you're going to, you know, how do you think that everything squares away?
I didn't take any damage that fight, which is awesome. We stuck to the game plan, keep it standing. I believe the fighting the right way that night definitely kept me ready to fight this tournament. I had that in mind, so I didn't want to take any damage at all. Stick and move, hit and not be hit. That was the game plan.
Quentin, for someone that hasn't seen you fight before, describe Quentin Thomas's fight style. What do you bring to the table?
I'm well-rounded. I'm good at standing. I'm good at not getting hit. I can wrestle. I got submissions. So I'm pretty good at showing skills in all areas.
And is this kind of like your last hurrah as an amateur? You know, you've got a pretty extensive amateur record already. Are you looking to go pro after this tournament, or are you just kind of looking to see how it goes for you?
Planning on after the tournament. That's the plan. So depending on how this go, I'll move and shuffle around. But definitely after this tournament and after the Nationals, the Internationals.
Quentin, give some shout outs where they are due. Of course, your training partners, your sponsors, all of that, as well as your social media plugs, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Give those shout outs. This is your time.
All right, man. I'm going to take it all the way back to the beginning. Shout out to Lake City High School Wrestling. Shout out to Fight Farm. Shout out to everybody who's helped me at Swamp Fox. Shout out to my team now, SOS team, Gibson, Francisco Aragon. Man, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate my team. Everybody who's putting money into me, believing in me, I appreciate you. Not saying name by name, but too much right now. Follow me on Instagram. It's Quentin Thomas. Just like that.
Quentin Thomas returns to action this weekend as he enters the lightweight bracket of the UMAF Nationals. Quentin, thanks so much for your time.
No problem, bro.
We are joined now by Alvin Miller. Alvin is a 6-4 amateur mixed martial arts competitor fighting out of Nashville, Tennessee. He's coming off a dominant round one TKO victory over Christian Hamlet back at Midwest Fighting League's Fight Night 6. And he rolls into UMAF Nationals this weekend as part of the lightweight bracket. Alvin, thanks for joining us tonight. How is your training shaping up for this big weekend of action?
Yeah, man, my training is shaping up good. You know, I've done some fine tuning to the things that I feel like needed work in my game. And I'm coming in, you know, very, very confident in what I'm bringing to the table. Feeling like, you know, it's going to be a nightmare for other competitors to try to deal with, you know, the way that I'm going to, my style and, the way I've been training, it's going to be, tough.
We'll talk about that. Oh, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, you know, have you looked at any of your possible competitors that you may face this weekend at all? You know, have you prepared for, you know, just all the different looks you may see?
I've done, in my opinion, like, you know, proper preparation. I don't spend too much time just completely focused on, you know, what my opponent does. I'm more focused on, you know, what I'm trying to do, what I'm bringing to the table. But yeah, I've done my research. I've done my homework. You know, I know the style of the guys that I'm going to be competing against. Like I said, I feel confident in my training, my team, my coaching, everything, man. It's just, you know, it's been great.
Alvin, give us a little bit of insight into your background, your game. For particularly the Valor Fights fans, we haven't seen you before, so we don't know necessarily where you're coming from. We want to know more about Alvin Miller because we're very excited to see you in action this weekend.
Yeah, man. I've been doing the mixed martial arts for a good amount of time here. You know, I had my first fight when I was 19 years old. You know, I'm 27 now. I'm battle tested. I'm experienced. I've also done, you know, kickboxing with Thai rules, international rules. You know, I've been spending a lot of time at Grappling and Striking USA here in Nashville, Tennessee, really refining, you know, my wrestling and my kickboxing. And so, you know, my background is basically that, you know, I'm battle tested. You know, I've had a lot of matches, a lot of kickboxing matches, a good amount of MMA matches. I'm ready for war. You know, my fighting style tends to be, you know, fast paced and it winds up with a finish. So it's something that's exciting to watch. And you know, it's a good deal, man.
Well, is there any difference in your training knowing, you know, you could have potentially three fights in 3 days, you know, if things go the way that you want them to go, you'll fight three times in 3 days. You know, is there any changes that you've made in your training or is it just, you know, business as usual?
Well, I think that part of the game plan in the first place is to, you know, inflict maximum damage in the shortest amount of time and, you know, take minimum damage. Is is part of the game plan that we go with, you know, at gas anyway. So basically the big deal with having to fight, you know, 3 days in a row was that, you know, really I've been normally doing fights at 145, 147 pounds. So as a result of, you know, having to possibly make weight every day and be in shape to fight every day, I decided to, you know, move up a class. That's been the biggest refinement. But it's allowed me to stay strong, you know, be able to, you know, also weight train, be able to eat, you know, consistently and eat good during my training. So I feel like I'm going to actually be a much better competitor at the weight, to be honest.
And, you know, really, I've been seeing that across the board. It seems like everyone's pretty much fighting one weight class above what they would normally fight, knowing that they have to potentially make weight three times, you know, to win this thing.
Right.
You know, truthfully, I wouldn't mind if that, you know, extended on out. I love to see fighters fighting at their natural weight. I think oftentimes they perform much better. They perform much more like you see them in the gym. So I think that this definitely lends itself to a much better situation. And really, when you're in the gym, you're going to train with multiple opponents and training partners. And sometimes it gets pretty heated. So it's very interesting to see that. I'm excited to see it kind of pan out that way. And I think we're going to see a lot of true amateurs in here, meaning truly great amateurs on their way to being professionals. Real quick, Alvin, give shout-outs where your shout-outs are due, all your training partners, show your love for sponsors, and then also give us your social media plugs, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and so forth.
Not a problem, man. You know, first shout out, I want to, you know, give an honor to God ahead of my life. You know, I wake up every day and I try to be a better person. And that is what led me down, you know, getting so heavily involved in martial arts and being able to be on this platform and present myself and show my skills to the world. It's an awesome opportunity. First, I'd like to thank my coach down at Bonafide in Grappling USA, Kevin Walker. I like to thank my teammates, you know, Amari Boyd, Buford Williams, Avery Davis, you know, Phil, everybody down at GAS that's been helping me train and get together. I want to, you know, thank my wife for being supportive of me, you know, my parents, you know, they support me. Man, the whole city of Nashville is behind me, giving me support. I feel the love. And, you know, I really fully plan on coming down and putting on a great show and really doing my thing. So shout out to Valor for, you know, the opportunity. UMass, everybody down at UMass, you know, I'm just excited about the opportunity, man.
Catch Alvin Miller in action this weekend at the UMAF Nationals as he vies for championship gold in the lightweight division. Alvin, thanks so much for your time and see you this weekend.
All right, thanks, man. Bonafide for life. We're going to get it. Let's go.
We are joined now by Shamar Hawaii Perez, a 1-1 amateur mixed martial arts competitor out of Tennessee. We saw him in action last at the BMF Invitational number 7, where he defeated Jeff Turpin by round 1 armbar submission. He will be in action this weekend in the flyweight division as part of the UMAF National Championships. Hawaii, thank you for joining us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, dude. How are y'all doing?
Man, we're doing great. We're excited to have you out this weekend. You know, I'm constantly kind of paying attention to what's going on around me and scouting guys. And you're a guy that I've heard of before and have kind of had my eye on. And we're excited to have you out here, you know, on a Valor event, you know, fighting out of the SSF Academy there. You train with some studs like, you know, Nate Landwehr, Ed Massey, guys like that. You know, talk about that environment there at SSF and, you know, your training leading up to this tournament and, you know, just, you know, pretty much your preparation to get ready to potentially fight, you know, 3 times in 3 days.
Man, I prepared pretty hard for this. Pushed myself to limits I've never pushed before. Never pushed myself to throw up before. Throwing up almost like 4 times throughout this whole training process. So starting to build myself even stronger and stronger. And then training with the people I train with, they push me, they motivate, they're supportive. I mean, I have a great gym.
You know, you're in a division, you know, you guys have to make weight like multiple times. And so that worries a lot of guys, especially at flyweight, 125 pounds. Do you have any fears at all of being able to make that 125 pounds, over and over and over again? You know, we qualified guys out here on this side of the state leading up to it. We did some qualifiers, and this is the one division that we had our guy fall out because he just didn't think he could make that 125 pounds, three times.
I have no fears about making the weight, preparing for this. My body has gone through literally every preparation you can think of to get me ready for this. My body ready. So I'm not really worried about the weight or anything. I'm just excited to go in there and fight.
You look at the lineup for this bracket, and it may be as far as regional athletes, you know, different regions of the United States, we're looking at Illinois, Louisiana, Minnesota, North Carolina, Kentucky, Alabama, you name it, every competitor in your division hails from a different state here. Do you think that factors into how this thing will shape up? You know, of course, fighters are fighters, but do you feel like that these different locations bring a different twist or a different flavor to their style?
I mean, it could, but I mean, it really just depends on the fighter, like you said. I mean, not really. I mean, it just depends. I mean, honestly, like, who they watch. Like, I mean, the atmosphere difference, I mean, cardio and all that. I mean, that's really the only thing, like, I'd have to expect. I mean, I'm not really worried about anybody's style or anything. But, I mean, I guess certain places would have different styles, like wrestlers and stuff that impact.
Have you had a chance to scout any of those potential opponents there in your division?
I have not, actually. I've seen the names and everything, but I have yet to, like, actually look at them.
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems like we've spoken with a few of the competitors so far, and some of them have done a little bit of work. They've scouted some of their opponents, and some of them are sort of like you. They're like, man, it doesn't really matter. I can't really control who it is I'm going to face. And when you go into a situation like that, it's really going to be about your game much more than your opponent's game. Do you find that to be the case?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of fighters, I mean, hopefully I played a lot of fear in a lot of them, honestly. I'm hoping I did do that. Put some worry on their mind, have them thinking about different strategies and how to come at me, because I'm coming.
Well, you know, for someone that hasn't gotten to see you fight before, you know, this is kind of our motive here is to, you know, expose our fans to different competitors in this tournament that we haven't seen on Valor shows before. What can they expect? You know, if you've never seen Hawaii Perez fight, what, you know, sum it up for us. What can we look forward to seeing this weekend?
They can expect to see some explosiveness, see something they've never seen before, see a lot of, I don't really know if I'm going to throw a lot of flash. I may throw some flash in there, but they're going to see somebody different. They're going to see a future.
What should we tell the folks that say that maybe the flyweight division, you know, maybe those guys move real quick, but they don't necessarily think that they've got the power to deliver? What would you say to that statement?
Anything can happen. I mean, honestly, anything can happen. I feel like I have the power to put somebody out. I mean, we'll see.
Nice. Now, your teammate Jennifer Clausius is also in the tournament. What can we expect from her in your estimation? Have you done any training with her here leading up to this? You know, and so what is your case for her?
I definitely tell the female to be prepared for her. She's definitely been training very hard. Definitely. She's been training with Adrian. Then sometimes you know who that is. B3 champion wrestler. Yeah. So yeah, I'm pretty sure they're gonna have to put some strategies for her. She's gonna come out there pretty explosive. She's gonna come out there. I'm expecting her to put somebody on the ass, honestly.
Well, Hawaii, really quick, let's real quick give your love and all your shout outs to your sponsors, to your teammates, and then also your social media plugs, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and so forth. Here's your chance.
All right. I'll give a shout out to SFF, Best Gym. Definitely come there, train. I'll give a shout out to all my teammates, Adrian, Jen, Zach, who's definitely going to be down there. He's super heavyweight. And then I'd like to give a shout out to my sponsor, Instigator. And you can find me on Facebook at Hi Perez, and I do not have any of that other stuff. And Twitter is the Roaster SP3.
Hawaii Perez makes his presence felt in the flyweight division this weekend at the UMAF National Championships. Grab your tickets now or catch him live on Flow Combat. Hawaii, thanks so much, and we look forward to seeing you in action.
Thanks, dude.
Well, guys, that was a great lineup of guests from literally across the nation. But now it's time to dig deep into these brackets. It's Valor Hour main event time as we tackle the official preview of the UMAF National Championships at Elizabethan High School. Remember that tickets are still available now at fightertix.com for $25 per day or $50 for a three-day pass. Now, without further ado, let's get started. We kick things off with the flyweight division.
Yeah, man, this one is, you never know what you're going to get with the flyweights. The one thing you know is you're going to get action. They're so quick, and it's always, action-packed fights. So we're not real familiar with a whole lot of these guys because we don't really have a Valor rep in this one. But, Hawaii Perez, who we just spoke with, he's a guy to keep an eye on, I think, for sure. But I think, you know, the favorite on paper coming into this thing is Sean Stebbins out of Minnesota. He's Minnesota Martial Arts Academy and 5-0, stellar wrestler. And I think he is kind of the favorite on paper. He's got a bye going into Saturday, so he'll be well-rested as well.
Well, let's do a quick rundown of the entire roster here. It's a six-man bracket, of course, at 125 pounds. Number one, Kawana KJ Marshall, 1-0 out of Chicago, Illinois. He's 5'8", and he fights out of Combat Dough. Fighter number two is Lachlan Kritsanis. He's a 1-0 competitor out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He stands 5'4". And fights out of Beat to Sleep. Fighter number three is Sean Stebbins, 5-0 competitor out of Minnesota. Stands 5'5", out of Minnesota Martial Arts Academy. Fighter number four is Eric Rodriguez, 2-2 out of Greensboro, North Carolina. Standing 5'7", and fighting out of Team Phoenix. You mentioned him before, fighter number five, Shamar Hawaii Perez, 2-1 out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky, standing 5'9" and representing SSF Academy. Finally, the latest entry, the last entry in this division, fighter number six, Josh Crumpton, 3-11 out of Birmingham, Alabama, standing 6 foot tall out of Champions MMA. And Tam, you've already given a little insight into this lineup. Vince, what is your take, man?
Well, what stands out to me is that all six of these fighters are from a different state. So the diversity of them, I think what that's going to do is it's going to limit, I think, the knowledge and the scouting that the fighters have on their opponents. So this is going to be one of those where more than any other division, guys are just going to be focusing on themselves and it's trying to adjust on the fly. And then other than Crumpton, who has 14 fights, you know, the next most experience only is 5 fights into their amateur MMA career. So a lot of guys still early on in their careers as well. So, Stebbins has the best record at 5-0, as Tim mentioned. But, you know, we don't know about the competition in all of these different parts of the country that they're seeing. So I think that adds to the intrigue of the unknown.
Well, from my estimation, KJ Marshall is someone to take a look at. Of course, he's only 1-0, but he does fight out of Combat Do, and that is an academy that is known for competing in these type of tournament events. Of course, that 1-0 record doesn't account for any sort of grappling, wrestling, amateur kickboxing, Muay Thai experience that KJ Marshall may possess. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just saying that is definitely an academy to watch out for, is Combat Do. Now, moving on into the bantamweight division, of course, that is 135-pound max. We've got four competitors in this bracket. Number one, Michael D'Angelo Williams, 1-2 out of Chicago, Illinois, standing 6 foot tall and representing Combat Do Academy. Fighter number two is Chase Boutwell, who is 2-0 out of Macon, Georgia, 5'8", and representing ATT Rush. Of course, he qualified through Valor Fights. We're excited to see him in action. Fighter number three is Trey Wills. We spoke with him earlier. 4-2 out of Eastview, Kentucky, standing 5'8", representing Area 502 AKB. And finally, fighter number four, Austin Childers, 7-4 out of Douglasville, Georgia, standing 5'11", and representing Knuckle Up Fitness. Tim, give your insight on this this bracket. It's going to be deep.
You know,
small but deep.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. You know, with, even though we've only got four competitors, you know, we're not going to see them until Saturday. This is a really solid bracket. You know, Williams, from what I can see, is very tall and long. You know, he's nearly 6 foot tall, surely, and he's a tricky striker. Wills, like you said, we just spoke to him, and you know, he's got a wrestling background. He's training down there with AKB some, and of course is also trained with 502 in Louisville. I think he's going to be one to watch. Of course, we're familiar with Boutwell and Childers both. They both fought for Valor, and man, that's a stacked division. I got to say, on paper, that Childers is the favorite, you know, but Boutwell's coming on strong. He's looked great. I think that that Wills is going to be, you know, a very tough matchup for anybody. He looks like he's a powerhouse. And then, of course, Williams coming out of that Combat Do gym there with Torres and several other teammates on this in this tournament is not to be overlooked. You know, he's got length and size and reach. And so, man, yeah, I'm really excited for this one.
Vince, what say you?
Yeah, I agree. You can make a case for all of these guys. Williams, because of the camp. Wills, who was very impressive when we talked to him. Childers with the 7 victories in that Knuckle Up camp in Douglasville. Chase Boutwell, who we're the most familiar with that we've seen in person. I just watched on DVR, Fox 43, Knoxville. You can watch replays of a lot of our events. And just last night, I watched the bout back in March that the Chase Boutwell had on the Kala versus Wright Valor Fights 41 card. And he put Charles Chandler away in 1:47 of the first round in a triangle choke. So you can make a case for all these guys. I just love when you have this level of quality within a weight class. So yeah, this one's going to be a whole lot of fun.
And of course, Chase Boutwell coming off of that epic fight of the night battle there at Border Wars against right. Stone Beverly. And that's what, less than a month ago. I mean, this guy's back in action and potentially fighting two times in one night, but yes, a very stacked lineup. I can't wait for this division. Next up are the featherweights, of course, contested at 145 pounds. First competitor is Julio Palma, 0-1 out of Chicago, Illinois. Of course, standing 5'7" and representing, you guessed it, Combat Do. Fighter number two is Ava Mayi, 4-1 out of Nashville, Tennessee, standing 5'9", and he represents Nashville MMA, and of course, qualified through Valor Fights. Very excited to see him in action. And of course, bout number three, Rene Chavez, 2-4 out of Washington, D.C. He stands 5'9" and represents Crossroads MMA. Tim, let's get your thoughts on it.
You know, this is the bracket that got decimated the most, in my opinion. You know, it was full at one point, and we had a lot of pulls. And even from the beginning, I felt like Ava was the guy. You know, he was going to win. But now, especially, you know, I feel like he's definitely the class of this one. Now, you can't overlook the guy from Combat. Of course, you know, it's hard to say what you're going to get with only one fight. He could be, you know, a stud that slipped up in his first one, but you know, Ava's got to be the on paper the guy.
Vincent, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. Even with more competition, Ava Mai was one of the guys that I was most looking forward to, and just because we've seen him in Valor Fights 42. Defeat Ben Brown and choke him out, and then had that close decision win over Tyrell Hill, had the loss to Amun Cosme in an epic battle. So
right,
that's you're absolutely right. And so he always brings the entertainment. I think he's really well rounded. And I think in a situation like this, confidence can really carry you through the unknown. And I think that's something that he brings to the table in spades. And so I like him to advance in this group and move on. I like Ava Mai in this one.
Well, he certainly talks the talk, and he is ready to back it up this weekend, but a stacked lineup there. Can't wait for it. We move on to the lightweight division contested at 155 pounds. And this one's pretty deep here. Seven competitors in this bracket. Fighter number one, Keith Olsen, 5-0 out of Johnson City, Tennessee, standing 5'10" and representing Olsen's Martial Arts. Of course, he qualified through the Valor Fights organization. Fighter number two, Richard Mode, 17-11. Of course, that's 28 fights, fighting out of Bethany, Missouri. Standing 6 foot tall and representing Hewlett House MMA, fighter number three, Austin Limburger, 3-3 out of Lansing, Michigan, stands 6 foot tall. And fighter number four, Gustavo Gomez, his record is 6-8 out of Houston, Texas. He stands 5'7" and represents Baradime. Fighter number five, Quentin Thomas. We spoke with him earlier. He has a record of 7-2, fighting out of Florence, South Carolina, and represents SAS Competitive Edge. Fighter number six, we also spoke with him tonight, Alvin Miller. He is 6-4, fighting out of Nashville, Tennessee. He stands 5'9" and represents Gas USA. And finally, fighter number seven, Jeremy Mitchell, 5-4 out of Princeton, West Virginia, stands 5'10" and represents Advantage Martial Arts. Tim, this is one of two of the deepest divisions. Talk about it.
Man, this is stacked. I just kind of started thinking about it as you're reading them off, and man, there's a lot of studs in this division. You know, Gustavo Gomez, he represented the United States last year at Worlds, so he's already got experience in this type of competition. In fact, he won Nationals last year. Quentin Thomas, who we spoke to, comes very highly touted and is obvious a complete beast and stud and athletic specimen. And, you know, that's Alvin Miller as well. You know, we spoke to him earlier, very impressed with him. Jeremy Mitchell is a guy that is coming out of West Virginia there. I'm not real familiar with him, but I know he's from that Advantage camp there with Derek Lambert and those guys. And so most likely would be a pretty good striker. Mode has just a ton of experience. I mean, that's just so many fights. Limburger, 6 foot tall, lanky guy, and skilled. And of course, our qualifier, Keith Olsen, is undefeated at 5-0 and very skilled both on the ground and standing as well. So, man, this is loaded. That's a very impressive weight class. I've got to say, on paper, the favorites have got to be Olsen. I'm going to say Olsen and Thomas. Quentin Thomas and Olsen are probably the two heaviest favorites on paper, and they could line up to make an awesome final if it kind of plays out that way.
Vincent, what's your take on this?
Yeah, and Tim, that could happen because they likely, wouldn't match up in a finals on opposite sides of the bracket, you know, if those seeds hold. So I think it's the you can make a case for a lot of these guys. And another thing that stands out is six different states represented in this one weight class. That's how deep it is. So, you know, Richard Mode, obviously that most experience, but you don't know about the competition there in Bethany, Missouri. So, but yeah, so many great records in there. And even guys, the guy that has a losing record in Gustavo Gomez, who has already won this thing a year ago and went on to the international. So, love it. It's deep and quality, and we've obviously seen Keith Olson advance through, so certainly familiarity there.
And of course, Keith Olson comes from that karate background, years and years of tournament experience, both in karate and in grappling. Of course, mixed martial arts, a different beast, but still yet used to that level, that type of format. So interesting to see how that's going to match up. So yeah, very excited for this division. We move on to the welterweights. Not as deep as far as numbers, but again, very, very stacked. Of course, we spoke with Angelo Rivera Jr., fighter number one, 11-2 out of Chicago, Illinois, stands 6 foot tall, and of course, he represents Combat Dough. Fighter number two, Ben Bennett, 7-4 out of Fairbanks, Alaska, and he also stands 6 foot tall, and he represents Hewlett House. And then, of course, fighter number three, David Robbins. He's 6-1, fighting out of Cleveland, Tennessee, and as well stands 6 foot tall and represents American Killer Bees. Of course, he qualified through the Valor Fights organization. Damn, this is deep here. I mean, these are three very solid competitors.
You know, this is another division that took a lot of drops, but at the end of the day, the three best guys stayed in. And, you know, whoever wins this thing is going to have to, you know, advance past, you know, even though it's not the in quantity, the deepest division, it is certainly in quality. I mean, all three of these guys are studs. They're all three very good elite amateurs. And, you know, man, it's, I don't know what's going to happen. I got to ride with our guy, David. You know, I mean, David's very skilled. He's on a hot streak. He's confident. And it seems like his head's in the right place, but, it's not going to be easy. You know, Ben Bennett and Angelo Rivera, both studs. You know, I mean, this is, you know, whoever wins this is going to have earned it.
Vince, what's your take?
Yeah, and it'll be an advantage for whoever gets that bye as well, because then they're automatically into the finals, and then the other two have to battle it out for that other spot with only three guys in the division. So I think that could be a difference maker there. But, you know, Tim mentioned it earlier, the what we've seen from David Robbins and his the possibility of him adding Ben Bennett and Angelo Rivera Jr. to his resume when he's already so accomplished, and he can just absolutely stamp that approval of taking that next step and impress a lot of people in a lot of different organizations. So just even though there's not a lot of numbers there, what an opportunity for David, who's an exceptional matchmaker for us here at Valor with the amateurs, and then also a fantastic coach and running American Killer Bees here in East Tennessee. So I think it's terrific, and I like David Robbins in this group.
Well, in my estimation, the two competitors that compete in round one, the man that gets the bye, he has really got a huge advantage. And I think the other two guys, if it turns out to be a war, it could be a game changer for sure, because all three of these competitors so tough here. And so I think that the winner in round one is going to want to get his opponent out of there as quickly and safely as possible. Now, moving on to the middleweight division, of course, contested at 185 pounds. Fighter number one, Logan Sanchi, 5-2-1 out of Arnold, Missouri. He stands 5'11" and represents Han MMA. Fighter number two, Don Brooks, 1-3 out of Wilmington, Delaware. He also stands 5'11". Finder number three, Darian Weeks, 4-1 out of Columbia, Missouri. He stands 6 feet tall and represents Hewlett House. Finder number four, Bubba Cruz, 5-1 out of Rossville, Georgia. He stands 6'1" and represents Core One Fitness. And of course, he qualified through the Valor Fights organization. Fighter number five, Jeremiah Cartwright, 6'2-1 out of St. Charles, Missouri, stands 6 foot tall and represents St. Charles MMA and BJJ. Fighter number six, Michael Cooper Mack, 5-0 out of Lebanon, Virginia, stands 5'10 and represents Styles Fitness. And finally, fighter number seven, Josh Cumbie, 5-1. A record of 5-1, and fighting out of Rincon, Georgia, he stands 6 foot tall and represents Self-Made Domicile. Of course, he also qualified through the Valor Fights organization. Tim, this one is stacked, particularly with Valor competitors.
Yeah, man, this is the division that we have, two competitors in this one. We do a heavyweight as well, I guess, but, two guys out of seven here, and this is a very loaded division. Everyone is very, very close in record, with the exception of Brooks. I mean, everyone is right there in that range of, from 4-1 with Darian Weeks to 6-2-1 with Kurt Wright. There's, five guys in between. So, that's a solid stack division. Again, this is a widespread geographic area that we've got represented. I've got to say, on paper, man, Cumbie's coming in hot. He's going to be really tough to beat. Michael Cooper Mack hasn't been beaten yet, so 5-0. Jeremiah Cartwright, coming from the same team with Luis Pena in St. Charles, Missouri, I'm expecting him to be very tough. Of course, Bubba Cruz, we know to be a stud as well. Man, I mean, it's a coin toss. Whoever wins this one is going to have definitely earned it, because they're going to have to win three times most likely.
I got to ask you this though, as Valor Fights president, if it's Bubba and Josh Cumbie that meet there in the finals, who you got?
Oh,
it's a hard one, isn't it?
That is, because Bubba has showed his vulnerabilities essentially on the ground, but Cumbie's not the type to want to go to the ground, and that would be just a spectacular final, because those are both guys that are going to want to throw, and man, I can't call a winner, but it would be awesome. I think it would be a fight of the year potential. I mean, we've got a lot of those.
Well, and Bubba's also shown some prowess on the ground. Three finishes, possibly four, with that scarf hold Americana lock that he likes to put on. And so he can be dangerous as well once it hits the mat. Vincent. Hey, man, this is one of the most stacked lineups, one of the most stacked brackets of the night. Give your take.
Yeah, I love this 185 middleweight group. And what came to mind when you were running through the list of names is not just if Bubba Cruz and Josh Cumbie matched up in the finals and who would win, but the atmosphere in there with East Tennessee represented in there, and then got two guys from Georgia that fans from East Tennessee that follow Valor have seen be entertaining and get after it. And the possibility of those guys, if they were to match up, it'd be an electric atmosphere in there. But it's not going to be easy with the depth of fighters in there. A lot of really good records there from different parts of the country. So, man, whoever gets to the finals and wins this thing will have earned it.
Well, of course, Tim mentioned Michael Cooper Mack, who I know extremely well, undefeated prospect, and you're not hearing a whole lot about him, perhaps because he's kind of from, the hills of Lebanon, Virginia. But I'm here to tell you that he can put some heat on, and so I'm anxious to see him in there mixing it up as well. Moving on to the light heavyweights, 205 pounds. This one is going to be hard hitting, no doubt. Of course, number one, John Hall, 4-0 out of Newport, Tennessee, stands 6'5" and represents Newport Combat Club. And not only did he qualify through Valor Fights, he is the Valor Fights light heavyweight champion. Fighter number two, Toma Walton, 4-4 out of Columbia, Missouri, standing 6 foot tall and representing Hewlett House MMA. We've seen them all the way up and down this lineup tonight. Did we see Hewlett House? Also, fighter number three, Nick Jewell, who we spoke with earlier, 3-4 out of Beattyville, Kentucky, standing 6 foot tall and representing LKA Karate. And finally, fighter number four, Jared Short, 5-0 out of Hazard, Kentucky, standing 5 foot six and fighting out of Viper Pit. Of course, Tim, you and I have seen him before. Talk about this lineup.
This is one of those fun ones, too, kind of like 135, where we're just really familiar with most of the field. Not real familiar with Toma Walton, but, you know, obviously coming with that Hewlett House camp, who has such great track record in this tournament, you know, he's going to be good. John Hall is our champion, and in my opinion, the favorite of this class. Nick Jewell, of course, who we spoke with earlier, is always entertaining. He's looking to put on a show, very outspoken and confident. And then, of course, Jared Short, undefeated out of Viper Pit, who is one of those unassuming kind of guys. You know, he's probably the smallest guy in the competition, but he's also undefeated and has been very impressive. So, man, that's another really fun bracket, you know. I mean, I got to go with our guy Hall, but, man, I mean, it should be interesting.
Yeah, speaking of Jared Short, to say his name, you know, he in fact is the shortest competitor at 5 foot six. That is a full 11 inches shorter than John Hall. That's crazy. But as we saw before, Jared Short's got a lot of heart in him, man. And we haven't spoken with him very much leading up to this, but you and I saw him in that last matchup, and he just really, he's very smart, he's cagey, and he knows how to deal with power. So it'll be interesting to see him in action as well. Vince, give your take on this.
Yeah, you mentioned not only the height difference, but the age difference too. Short's only 21, and Hall's 10 years older, so that would be such a contrast in styles, and styles make fights, and that would be so much fun, you know. But I have the visions of John Hall just beating on James Garmany, and then Dimitri Fuentes, who was a different type of fighter, and he was able to dispose of him quickly as well. So I just think John Hall is too much on a roll. And then he's another guy with supreme confidence. I mean, he's in the Billy Swanson, Ava Mai category, stratosphere in terms of confidence he brings into the cage. So it's hard to bet against John Hall, but man, this is another high quality weight class.
Right. And of course, you can't sleep on the diehard tenacity of Nick Jewell. And, of course, those dancing skills, a great lineup here. Let's move on to the heavyweight division. Of course, that's under 265 pounds. We've got three of them. Fighter number one, Moses Espinoza, 2-0 out of San Antonio, Texas. He stands 6 foot tall and represents Brazilian Top Team. Big camp. I've not heard from a lot in recent days, but legendary nonetheless. Fighter number two, Mike Thomas, 4-1 out of Johnson City, Tennessee, stands 5'9" and represents D3 Elite. Of course, he qualified through Valor Fights. And, of course, fighter number three, Billy Swanson, 6-1 out of Cleveland, Tennessee, stands 6'2", the tallest of the division, and he represents American Killer Bees. And again, not only did he qualify through the Valor Fights promotion, but he is the Valor Fights heavyweight champion. Tim, give your take.
You know, another division that had a lot of pulls. It was full, and a lot of guys pulled out. And you know, if you ask Billy Swanson why, it was because they looked at who was in it. And you know, it's hard to deny Big Sexy's is going to be a tough challenge to get through. You know, props to the other two for sticking in this thing. But that said, you know, they're both going to be very tough customers. You know, Big Mike has got great boxing, and you know, Thomas, he's going to be a guy that is going to be probably the quickest of all three. You know, he's going to have the quicker of the hands, probably better footwork, but he's going to be undersized against both guys. And, you know, Swanson's got the bye by way of better record. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Moses and Mike. I think if Mike gets that win, it sets up kind of a local dream fight for us in the finals.
Yeah, undoubtedly. And of course, Mike Thomas, the oldest of the three, 37 years old, 12 years the elder of Billy Swanson. Vince, talk about it.
Listen, until I hear otherwise, I'm going to assume that everyone that backed out because Billy Swanson's such a bad A. I'm just going to default to that because he is. So I think he is right about why guys backed out. I need to see him challenge. I have not seen him challenge, and he gets better and better every time you see him. And I don't know that he's had that challenge yet. And it'd be cool to see him with Mike Thomas because we've seen him from the Tri-Cities. And I think that would be another one that would get fans really excited. But, I got to see Billy Swanson challenged before I believe anyone other than him is going to win.
Billy undoubtedly has the momentum going into this, the experience, everything to back it up. Of course, that wrestling background. Moses Espinosa, though, undefeated. He's the least experienced, but he has never tasted defeat. Tough, tough individual. So I think this lineup is going to be fantastic. Now moving on to the super heavyweights. That's 265 plus. We got two of them, and they are big boys, and we know them both. Fighter number one, Michael Snapp, 8-6-1. Out of Newport, Tennessee, stands 5'9", represents Newport Combat Club, and he did qualify back at Valor Fights 42 through the Valor Fights organization. And fighter number two is Randall Ross. Tim, of course, we've called several of his fights. Man, he is awesome. He's 2-0-1 out of Beattyville, Kentucky. He stands 6'4" and represents Lee Karate Academy. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, this is kind of one of those like hidden gems at the end. You know, it won't happen until Sunday. You know, this will be the automatic final because of more pullouts. We at one point had four. We had at one point, four super heavyweights, and everybody would have at least had two fights. But, we're still down to the two best. These are the two guys that would have most likely made it to the finals, which is good. And we're going to get to see a really cool fight on Sunday, for the finals. It's definitely a clash of styles and types. I mean, Ross is a big, tall, strong, powerful, hulking guy. And Snapp is a, shorter, compact, experienced, cagey vet. So, it's going to be this is a really cool fight still. It's just kind of like hidden there at the end. It's kind of getting overlooked, but it's going to be good.
I'm a Marvel Comics nerd, and so I see this as a Colossus versus the Thing matchup. I think it's awesome. Vince, what about you?
Well, we've got Tennessee versus Kentucky once again, right?
That's right.
Michael Snapp, we've seen him a bunch, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. Those guys are always entertaining, and it'll be interesting what kind of mindset they come into because they have it different than everyone else. They're gonna do it'd be like playing the last game in a tournament, like the NCAA tournament, and you're the very last game of the second day where you're watching everybody else play, and then your adrenaline, your nerves, your anxiety, all that can build up. How do those guys handle sitting around for 3 days and watching everyone else compete before they come around? So that could be a difference maker if those guys match up evenly from a physical and skill set standpoint. So that'll be something to watch, see how they handle that.
One thing they don't have to worry about is cutting weight.
That's true. And I think if I were those guys, I'd sit back at the hotel, chill back, have a nice dinner, watch some TV, maybe take in a hike, enjoy myself. I don't know. I'd be right there at cage side watching every bit of this because you're right. The nerves could get out of control.
How do you see that one, Casey?
I think that Randall Ross has I like the like Colossus and the Thing. I think that Randall Ross comes with a lot of pressure. He hits hard. He can take a beating. We saw him take a beating. Yeah. We've really not seen his ground skills tested yet, though. And that's the thing where Michael Knapp, I think he's more of the grappler, and he also can take a beating. And we've seen it over and over again. This guy can get pressed and pressed and continue to toe forward. We saw him in his last matchup. You know, he just, you know, put his opponent on the ground, mashed him into the mat, and finished him off with a Kimura like it was nothing. He's a great grappler, and he really is maybe one of the longest standing Valor Fights competitors, because he was, you know, there back at the 3FC days. Oh, yeah. So I think that it's going to come down to, can Randall Ross keep Michael Knapp in the chaos at the end of his punches, using that reach and up on the feet? I think if it goes to the ground, I'm going to give the edge to Knapp, but I think on the feet and on the outside, it goes to Randall Ross. Now, moving on, of course, it's time for the females. We have a tremendous female lineup. Firstly, at 115 pounds, fighter number one, Brianna Smith, 5-13. Out of Eclectic, Alabama, she stands 5'7" and represents Champions Freestyle MMA. Fighter number two, Jennifer Colossius, 5-2, out of Clarksville, Tennessee. She stands 5 foot even and represents SSF. And finally, Gina Gooden, 5-0, out of Corbin, Kentucky. She stands 5'2" and represents Corbin Martial Arts. Tim, a great lineup here.
Yeah, this is a fun one. They've all got 5 wins. You know, so, you know, they're all very, very close. And we've got two ladies that we're familiar with, and Gooden and Colossius. Man, this is going to be great. I'm not familiar with Brianna, but, you know, she's got a lot of fights. And I think this is one that's kind of like wide open. You know, I'm not exactly sure what to expect. I'm going to say that Gooden's the favorite on paper there. You know, 5-0, she hasn't tasted defeat yet, has been pretty dominant in her wins.
I have been familiar with Brianna Smith. I've seen her in passing. I've heard about some of the tough battles that she's had. She's been in really deep in those losses. Those have been against top caliber opponents. She's one of those fighters that you can call on a moment's notice. In fact, she was actually up for she contacted me during the Team MMA battle stages, and I was unable to find her a partner, but she was like, I didn't care. She was willing to do it. So she's one of those girls that will line up to fight. And of course, those 5 wins are big. Of course, we, like you mentioned, we know Jennifer and Gina Gooden. Vince, what's your take?
Really close. I mean, having a called fights for Colossius and Gooden, I think both of them are really skilled. Gina Gooden, a lot of Gina Gooden's fights have been short. Her last fight that was up in Bowling Green, Kentucky, that one went to the third round and was a sub win over Shannon Gougherty, but everything else is either first or second round finishes. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of cardio Gina has, if not only she has to go a little bit farther, but then having to fight multiple times, if that is the case in the tournament, what kind of cardio does she have? But based on record, yeah, you got to favor Gooden.
Yeah, and of course, you know, again, going those three, you know, deep into the third there, you know, getting the submission, but also the girl has lightning bolts in her hands. I mean, we've seen it before. To be at that weight, to be 115 pounds, and to be able to put people on the deck the way she does, it's going to be a lot of action here. All three of these girls, very highly touted. I can't wait for it. Now, of course, we have a matchup at 125 pounds, the flyweight girls. Fighter number one, Cody Wareham, 2-2 out of Fairbanks, Alaska, stands 5'2". And also fighter number two is Sarah Hayes, who is 1-1 out of Knoxville, Tennessee, and she's representing KMAA. Tim, this matchup.
This is an interesting one. You know, Cody has done UMAF competition before. She comes from Alaska, as you mentioned. She's the more experienced of the two. Sarah, coming out of KMAA, who has just a plethora of female competitors, a huge stable of female fighters. And, you know, she doesn't have as much experience, but a strong wrestling base, you know, very strong girl. Cody is going to have a height advantage and reach, I would imagine, as well. This is an interesting fight, you know, and again, this is one that'll go down Sunday. This will be right, you know, immediately to the finals.
Well, you see Sarah Hayes there, 36 years of age, versus Warham, who is 22 years old. That's a huge age gap. Vince, talk about this.
And before, yeah. Vince, if I could interject, you know, sure. Sarah has gone the distance with Rebecca Ruth at a Shamrock show, I think. And Rebecca Ruth is very solid. She's a Bellator vet now, and to go the distance with her is solid. You know, that's a very tough opponent that she's already had.
Well, you mentioned the difference in the age. It cannot be a bigger age difference, and couldn't be a bigger geographic difference as well between Knoxville and Alabama. And another thing besides Hayes and the competition you just talked about, Tim, is the competition in the gym every day and training at KMAA with the quality of female fighters and fighters overall in that gym. So we'll see if that pays off, but yeah, this and I kind of wish with all the weight classes with the females we had more of the fighters, so we could see them in those same similar scenarios where they'll have to turn around and maybe fight over 2 or 3 day periods and how they handle that, but just don't have the depth and numbers in the female division. So we'll make the most of the ones we got.
I think it's female mixed martial arts as a whole, too. You see it. I compare female competitors to male heavyweight competitors. They're scarce. They're very interesting to follow and to watch. But they are, you know, because of that, you have great opportunities oftentimes. You know, it's a huge, wide open opportunity for any female that looks to get into mixed martial arts competition right now, and one of these two ladies is going to walk away with a national title on Sunday. And then finally in our bantamweight division at 135 pounds, we have two competitors as well. Fighter number one, Megan Poe, 3-1 out of Pennington Gap, Virginia, stands 5'5" and represents Iron Lock MMA. Of course, she is a Valor Fights veteran. We saw her very recently in action. The girl can throw her hands. And she faces off against Brittany Cloudy, 4-1 out of St. Louis, Missouri. She represents St. Charles MMA and BJJ. Tim, this matchup.
Man, this is another one that, you know, I got to say, you know, if you're only able to make it to one day, you know, Sunday is guaranteed to be awesome, you know, because we've got so many, you know, like ready-made finals that are going to be Sunday. And this is one of them. You know, we're familiar with Megan. She was with us last week on the podcast, and talking to Justin Brown, the UMAF director, he says that Brittany Cloudy is the real deal. She's I think she's like 5'10". She's really tall and trains there again with Luis Pena and those guys in St. Charles. And she's comes very highly touted. So I think we're going to get you know, Megan, we know, is like those hands. He's so tough. I mean, we're going to get a great fight.
5 inches taller than Megan Poe is Brittany Cloudy. And Megan Poe, she's made no secret about it. She wants to throw those hands. Anxious to see if she will be able to get through that reach. And, of course, St. Charles MMA and BJJ known for their striking as well. Like you mentioned, we've seen Luis Pena in action. Vince, your take on this matchup.
Yeah, Megan Poe, 8 years younger than Brittany Cloudy. But I think what you've heard, Tim, is right on Brittany Cloudy. Her only loss was a title fight to Helen Peralta, who's really good, and that was very late in the third round. And she's got an 11-second victory. Her first fight was in 11 seconds, and everything else has been quick wins, you know, either first or second round, except for her last fight was a split decision. So absolutely can bring it, and seems like competition is pretty good there for Brittany Cloudy as well. And like you said, we've seen Megan Poe, so this should be a lot of fun, and I think pretty closely matched as well.
Undoubtedly. Well, that does it for the brackets. Real quick, some final comments here before we head into the weekend. I mean, the weigh-ins are just hours away, quite literally. So, Tim, you know, talk about it from top to bottom. Tell everybody why they need to get out. Get that three-day pass, only $50. Why should they get out there? And, of course, if you can't make it out there, why do you need to order this on Flow Combat?
I mean, bottom line, man, we're going to have some great fights this weekend. There's so, we just went over all the divisions and, you know, how many times we're just like, we can't wait to see this. So it's going to be awesome. We're going to have, just some great matchups. You're going to get to see it all. You know, if you're local, the 3-day pass for $50, you can't beat that for the action that you're going to see. If you can't make it, the Flow Combat stream is going to be great. You know, we're going to have a live edit with 5 cameras. It's going to be a great production. Check it out, man. It's going to be a great weekend. I'm really pumped. I'm especially pumped for Saturday and Sunday.
Well, that does it for the UMAF preview and another episode of the Valor Hour. Join us next week as we cover the MMA headlines from across the world and delve into a huge summer schedule of events, which includes 50-50 Fight Night, D3 Elite, Strikefest 1, and so much more. Of course, we also have a full recap of this weekend's UMAF National Championships. Remember to get your tickets now for that monumental event at fightertix.com. $25 per day or $50 for a 3-day pass of nonstop national championship action. Also, a huge thanks to Valor Fights play-by-play master, Vince Ferrara, for his insight on a great card. Check him out each week on Vols Radio and, of course, this weekend alongside myself at the UMAF Nationals on Flow Combat. Also, find him on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with his handle at Vince Sports. Lots of love to all of our listeners. Don't forget to share this broadcast and subscribe at iTunes and Stitcher. For myself and Valor Fights President Tim Loy, thanks so much for listening and joining us next week for another episode of the Valor Hour.
For more information on upcoming events, visit ValorFights.com or find them at Valor Fights on both Facebook and Twitter. This has been the Valor Hour, powered by the law offices of Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl on Radio Influence. Here is Kevin Kennedy and Rich Herrera with an Inside the Dugout Quick Fix.
You know who made Mike Hampton years ago a ton of money?
Who's that?
Larry Durker. Larry Durker had 5 years managing the Houston Astros. They went to the playoffs in 4 of those years. And Larry Durker said when I talked to him, and Larry Durker went to Taft High School, as I did. I was 10 years later than him. He was the first star out of there. Larry was 18 years old in the big leagues with the Astros when he first signed out of Taft High School. His first 2 innings, he faced Willie Mays and Willie McCovey. He struck them both out. He had a slider and a great fastball, and he was a smart guy. But when he became a broadcaster for so many years with Houston, the owner at that time later said, you know what, I hear you on the radio all the time. Everything you say makes sense. I'm going to hire you as the manager. They won they went to the playoffs 4 years in a row. I believe they were division titles, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So when Mike Hampton was there, I'll never forget him. I'm doing a playoff game, and Mike walks the bases loaded in the first inning. Looks like the Braves are going to blow him out. He somehow gets out of the inning. He did it a couple times that year, too, when I did games. So I asked Larry finally, I said, why did you leave him in? You had no, I mean, Mike was all over the place. He said, Kevin, I told these guys, including Mike, the only way you're going to learn is by not looking down over your shoulder in the bullpen. When you look over your shoulder and you see help down there, then you're going to find a way to get out of the game and say, well, I'm covered here, so it is what it is. But if there's nobody back there, then you better suck it up and get tough and say, you know what? I got no help. I got to find a way. Otherwise, I'm going to embarrass myself, and this might be a 10-run inning. So sure enough, Mike Hampton found ways to get out of those innings, and Mike to this day should thank Larry Durker for every dollar he got when he finally signed that big contract with Colorado, because that's what Larry Durker taught his pitchers. You may not do that with a Julio Urias or somebody like that, but with veteran guys, I think it's the right move.
Inside the Dugout with Kevin Kennedy and Rich Herrera can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.